You're listening to KHOI 89.1, Story City, Ames. Donalana Kitchen talks about food. Donalana Kitchen talks recipes. Donalana Kitchen talks about lots of other things on
Community Radio.
We are here in the kitchen of KHOI, your community radio station. We are the Donalana Kitchen. My name's Lana.
And I'm Donna.
And this is a community radio station. We are volunteers. We're all volunteers here, and we get by with a little help from our friends.
Yes. Support comes from Wheatsfield Co-op, your full-service natural foods grocery in Ames. Community-owned, community-focused since 1974, open daily 7 a.m. to 9 p.m., located downtown at 413 Northwestern, just off Main Street in Ames. Everyone can shop Wheatsfield Co-op.
And we do. Well, welcome to the Donalana Kitchen. This is Pledge Week. We are trying to tickle your ears and remind you that this radio station is a community radio station, and we will be talking about the importance of supporting this radio station. We'll be asking for memberships, asking for friends. Your dollars make this happen. Yes, there is a lot of blood, sweat, and tears that goes on here. I mean, we do
oh
that
boy,
here.
Oh, boy, oh,
oh
boy,
oh boy. Oh, boy, oh boy. We worry over things, and we plug things in, and we send it off to the tower in Story City, and it comes to you, and you never know. We've got great programming here, and we think it is deserving of your support.
Yes, and you can not only give money. There are a lot of things you can come. You can come and volunteer as well. All kinds of opportunities. If you have a spare minute and you want to see what's going on here, and we're having live concerts every night. I myself will be here at 7 o'clock, kind of garbling along with the music.
That's called being a DJ. You are going to be a host on air. You're not a garble on air.
I'll just be here to talk about, it's our usual Donna Lana repeat spot. So I'm going to show up and kind of tap my fingers and toes and encourage you to do the same with the music, because it is the Rhubarb Sessions live tonight.
We are celebrating. There's live music concerts all this week.
And apparently free pie as well.
Oh, yes, all kinds of stuff. The Rhubarb Sessions are live 7 to 8. Tonight, Dang Felton and harmonist Amanda Lowe providing beautiful music before a live audience at our station. That is 410 Douglas Avenue, downtown Ames. Look for the great building that has the Ames Pantorium sign still on it. Yes, this used to be a dry cleaners, but now it is community radio.
And the Rhubarb Sessions are going on four nights a week, this week and next week, all during the fun drive. So there will be different live local musicians, as opposed to dead, not local musicians, here in the studio for the Rhubarb Sessions this week and next week, Monday through Thursday, I believe it is. Come on down if you like, or be sure to tune in.
Yes. Rhubarb. That sort of tweaked a trigger with Donna and I. Rhubarb is kind of dear to our heart. We'll have something to say about rhubarb a little later in the show. But first, this is May. May Day.
Tra-la, tra-la, the last month of May.
Thank you, Donna. It's lovely. This is the time for all of those spring juices to wake up. Yes, it is. Oh, and I was given a May Day poem by one of the fine producers of our local talk program. I won't mention her name, but it was surprising that she came up with this poem. But she said, ah, yes, May Day. May Day, hurrah, at last. Now we can all copulate in the grass.
Well, that's what May Day used to be.
And is.
To encourage the fertility in the fields. All the young people were sent out. And in some cultures, you could, even if you were in a relationship, on May Day, people could pick unusual partners. And sometimes it was supposed to be dark and no one was really supposed to know what was going on. But, you know, that burst of spring fertility was supposed to be put by the humans into the fields.
Yes.
Lying in the fields.
Very good.
Dancing around the bonfires.
Bonfires and maypoles and all sorts of stuff. Maypoles and May Day are part of this time of year. Festivals come around the 1st of May or around Pentecost. It's also called Whitsun. Whitsun in Europe and in England. The maypole. The maypole is this. You maybe have seen this in pictures or heaven knows. A large pole in the middle of a field, all festooned.
We still did these things when I was a child.
Yeah. And big ribbons, long ribbons tied to the maypole and dances around it in which you tangled yourself up artfully, not just for the heck of it, but everyone took a ribbon. Some people went one way, some people went the other way. Weave it in and out, and enjoy the maypole. And again, here we are back to the lusty sort of stuff. What I found out about the history of the maypole, people say, we're celebrating the trees, we're celebrating the earth. But as Donna said earlier, we are really celebrating procreation, because
the return of life.
That maypole actually might be considered quite phallic if you think about it. Now, phallic is one of those words I can say on the radio. There are other things I cannot say. But here is a little reading from Fanny Hill, from the novelist John Cleland. And it has to do with a man coming across a bunch of people reveling around a maypole. And he sort of is unabashedly saying what this reminded him of. And so, here it is. And now, disengaged from the shirt I wore, I saw with wonder and surprise what, not a plaything of a boy, not the weapon of a man, but maypole, so enormous a standard that had proportions been observed, it must have been longened to a young giant. So get your mind kind of going around the maypole there.
Well, and the more childish things. You know, when I was this would have been in the 50s when I was a little girl on May Day, my sister and I would make kind of small little baskets out of construction paper in kind of pastel-y colors, you know, with little handles on them. And we'd fill them up with candies and we'd go out and, you know, pick violets and whatever we could find that had popped up, and then you hung them on your neighbor's doors, you rang the doorbell, and you ran away.
Oh, I remember doing that,
yeah,
too. Just the fun
I'm
bit
a pretty
of
good basket maker out of construction paper.
Ah,
early skill set.
Very good thing to celebrate May Day. And we did have a little celebration of May Day Sunday evening. Sunday evening there was a show which is usually called An Evening with Elizabeth, which has to do with Elizabeth's LP collection, but she had ballroom dancing with
Elizabeth.
Here
in the studio.
In the studio. And we had a small little private but lovely May Day celebration, and so some of us danced around while she played the lusty month of May music from Camelot.
Yes.
Isn't that wonderful?
Obviously one of my favorites.
Well, there, Donna launched into that. Now we did do all the movements and we had a fine time, but we didn't exactly have a maypole. So
I heard a rumor that you turned Tom Beale into a maypole.
Yeah, well,
is
Tom Beale was sort of reluctant to join the dance, so we put Tom Beale in the middle. He was our maypole, and so we had a Beale pole. It was very, very nice. So happy May, everyone. We are celebrating, and this is Pledge
That
Week.
Gives you a glimpse of the sort of the tenor of things here in the studio sometimes.
Yes. Tenor. Tenor. Oh, spring, May. I've already found a few morels. Mushrooms. Now, these were the very, very tiny little gray things, I found six. So all of you foragers out there,
get going. Oh, because we had all that nice, rainy,
yeah,
cool weather.
Well, that should be nice. Good hunting to all the foragers. And I found, now, some of you may have a little clump of ramps. Ramps. Explain what ramps are. They're out in the woods,
it's
too.
It's a wild onion, basically. Mm-hmm. And you can eat the leaf, especially this time of year, it's very tender. And if you pull gently, you get the bulb that's sort of like fat scallion-ish kind mm-hmm. of looking.
So that is a good combination. I do want to say that I enjoyed my six little morels with a little stir-fried ramp next to it. So ramps, like morels, they're kind of like trout streams. People that gather don't necessarily tell you where they are. They'll say, oh, I got a few. So when you find some, don't pick them all, because you want to leave some for the woods, some for the fairies, but enjoy.
Now, that's not true. Is that true of morels, too, or just ramps?
I think you can pick all the morels because
they're underground sprouting up more, right?
The propagation happens underground. Okay. But if you want to leave some to the goddess, that's fine, too. Think of those things this time of year, folks. It's good. It's good. So, Donna and I have been having adventures. We had an adventure.
Road trips.
Tell us about our latest road trip.
Well, since we've become so well-known in the food world, we're now getting calls to review restaurants out of town, even. Can you imagine that?
We went to Des Moines last night. We were shocked, but we tried to ruffle our feathers and be very professional and represent KHOI at this event.
So last night, we made a little trip down to Marlene's Sevastopol Station, a new restaurant in a neighborhood that we took us a little bit of time to find.
This is South Des Moines, and I thought, well, we're going to run out of Des Moines. We were clear out what I considered.
Right, you're going into the, it's on 6th Street, so you're kind of going into the East Village area, but you keep going over the river, because apparently the East Village and that downtown area, which has become the marvel of Des Moines, is now a kind of spreading southward into the across the river. Actually, old neighborhood used to be called Sevastopol mm-hmm. before it was part of Des Moines. Mm-hmm. And Lana got the history on it. What did Marlene say?
Marlene, the owner of this fine restaurant, said, well, she was researching this too, because a very good businesswoman, she wanted to find out what this area was about. It's a little small houses and old little buildings, and it used to be mid-1800s, before there was even really a Des Moines, there was a coal mine there. And there was a rail line there, and it was called Sevastopol Station. A Sevastopol perhaps might have something to do about the immigrants that were
on the river.
Yeah.
So that would make sense.
Digging up the coal there. So for a while, there was a coal mining area.
And this
area.
Is before the Capitol building was
before,
built.
Because by the time the Des Moines kind of started taking off, and before the Capitol building started happening, before Des Moines started expanding, Sevastopol had kind of run out of coal, and it turned into nothing. But the place is still there, and Marlene decided to kind of rejuvenate this sort of thing, because people are more interested in where our buildings, where our history is from, and so she named her restaurant Marlene's at Sevastopol Station.
And it's kind of just an extension of, you know, if you're in that Capital area, you just kind of go across the river, and it's in a lovely new building. And so Marlene Karsten, is that her name?
Karsten
with two N's on it. And her chef is Travis Taylor. Nice, very chefy looking guy, you know, the usual young, burly, long-haired wild man in the kitchen. He's good.
That does seem to be sort of the rage now. I mean, if you go into the kitchen, there's this guy there.
A dude.
There are chef dudes. And we found out that this chef dude does know how to cook.
And he's from Ames. He actually started out his culinary experiences washing dishes at
Hickory Park,
right.
So things start in Ames, and actually he worked in many places all around, and he kind of worked his way up from dishwasher to knowing what to do.
So we went down because they had a little kind of reception, and they invited us, and we had a nice selection of wine. So I suspect that their bar is nicely chosen. And some hors d'oeuvres, and I'm looking at his menu. Travis has a sort of a, he has a kind of 50s and 60s bent there. There's things, a lot of crab, a black and blue, which is a blackened steak burger topped with caramelized portobello, and then lamb bacon. He's smoking his own lamb bacon. He has lamb belly also on the menu. He also has escargot.
Yeah, who would think? Who would think?
That's why I chuckled. I mean, he's got some little clever, kind of very classic, a little, you know, there's a chicken cacciatore, a duck poutine.
What's a poutine?
A poutine.
It's like a pate?
Well, he's describing it. No. Duck breast confit, with herb gravy, green onions, cheese curds, and duck fat frites. Fries and duck fat.
I noticed that on the menu. Duck fat. Duck fat as the thing to fry things in. What a good idea.
Oh, duck fat is really, really wonderful. In fact, it's a good thing it's wonderful because when you get duck, it's about half fat. So
yeah.
Might as well do something with it. So we had a lovely time there. The kid can cook.
The kid can cook.
You know, if you want to try something new in Des Moines, I would say, I liked his menu. It's kind of old style, but hip at the same time. And it was good. He tries to use local ingredients. It is 1938 Southeast 6th Street. So, like, if you're going from Ames, you get off on the 6th Street and go further than you would think until you pass over the river and then go a couple of blocks. And it's in a lovely new building. And pretty soon, they're even going to have a patio. So.
Yes. Yes, I spoke with, while Donna was hobnobbing in the kitchen.
Oh, yeah,
she got all kinds of tastes of things. I was talking to Marlene Karsten, and
she's the proprietor.
She's the proprietor. It was her idea. She has always been kind of interested in the food business. She had the great good sense to, before going into this venture, she said, well, I hadn't waitressed for a while. I wanted to get my hands in it again. And so she did. She waitressed and kind of, oh, yeah, I can do this. Yeah, I can do this. So she's been doing a lot of things.
And you said she grew up?
She grew up in Lexington, Kentucky. And her mother had a little cafe. And she had fond memories of this community of people around her cafe. And she learned how to bus tables and say thank you to people. And so she had good memories of her mother's cafe. So she learned how to do a lot of different restaurant-y things after moving to Iowa, but had been out of it for a while and decided, you know, now is the time. If I'm going to do this, I'm going to jump into this. And she ran across Travis. I can't remember what restaurant they were working in Des Moines. And Travis would, they hit it off. Travis would come out and say, taste this, Marlene. And she'd say, well, maybe just a little bit more of that. And he'd go back into the restaurant, into the kitchen and come back. And they'd talk about food. And she finally convinced him, take a chance with me. And there are architects and developing companies in Des Moines that are specializing in revitalizing these older neighborhoods,
yep,
putting up housing, putting up multi-use buildings. This is a multi-use building that they're in, too. Apartments above, businesses below. And she said, it sounded like a good idea. So they have jumped in with both feet. And best of luck to Marlene's at Sebastopol Station.
Yeah, it's 1938 Southeast 6th Street in Des Moines. They are open for lunch and dinner. Not Sunday.
For now, not Monday, not Sunday, because they're doing some special events Sundays.
Was it Sunday?
Sunday, too. At least for now.
Well, anyway. Call and check. Anyway, we had a good time. They were lovely. Thank you. Thank you, Marlene.
It was good. You are listening to KHOR 89.1 FM, Story City, Ames. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. You're listening to the Donna Lana Kitchen. That was a fine English country dance tune, and it was called Money in Both Pockets. Money, I was just going to mention that. This is Pledge Drive Week, and money sort of comes into the back of our brains here. So who pays the
bills? We need your help here.
Yeah. So do you listen with your ears? Well, we could use a little bit of money to help grease the wheels here. Who pays the bills at this station? Notice we don't have any commercials here, huh? You don't have to stop and listen to hemorrhoid or erectile dysfunction sort of commercials at all. We do talk about the maypole, at least we are today, but no commercials. So you can listen to entire programs without commercial messages. We do have support from a lot of people, and people can support us in many different ways. But we still have to pay for electricity to run the transmitter and rent the studio and do important things. So, where does cash to pay the bills come from? It comes from you, our listeners, through your donations. And by becoming members of the station, you make it happen. You can become a member at $55 a crack, or you can become a friend at $20 a month or $240 a year and get a thank you gift for that. So you can find more about KHOI and how to support it by going to our website, khoifm.org, or by calling the station and talk to one of our volunteers. The number is 515-292-2878, or you can go to khoifm.org, and there is a website that has lots of our smiling faces on it, and it also has a magic donate button. We're back. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. Donna, rhubarb. It has a special note this week because there is rhubarb. The rhubarb sessions are happening, live music in this very own studio, live music 7 o'clock every evening, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and there'll be some tonight. But when we say rhubarb, we kind of mean the stuff you can chomp into, don't we, Dad?
Yes, that sourpuss perennial, which it's popping up in my garden. Probably anybody who's got some, it's heading out right now. It's a vegetable, Lana. Did you know that?
A vegetable? You make pies out of vegetables? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, like tomato is a fruit. I don't know who decides these things, but
there's probably a committee.
I don't know.
When I think of rhubarb, I think of tenacity. Tenacity. Yes, it's out there kind of with the comfrey and the horseradish. And
I would say it's one of the few things I know I can grow. So it's a tenacious plant. Apparently, rhubarb comes to us from the Orient. The rhubarb historians will tell you that the plant, as far as we know, dates back to 2700 B.C. in China, where it was cultivated for medicinal purposes.
Oh, goodness. I wonder.
Now, I don't know, but don't eat the leaves.
No. Although things change over time. Maybe it's gotten more toxic. Yeah, but it has come to us through China, I suppose. Marco Polo, whoever brings farther east through the Middle East. I happen to think of rhubarb. There is who remembers? Gildy probably remembers this. There was a band called Silly Wizard, long about the 70s and 80s. And there was some singers in there that would kind of revive old English tunes. And they had a series of things about kind of music that people would sing on the streets to hawk their wares. And this is one of them.
Are you going to tell me you have a rhubarb seller's song?
There's this thing that is stuck in my head ever since rhubarb came up as a topic this week, and here's how it goes. And this one attributes, it connects up rhubarb to the country of Turkey, because you'll find out. It goes like this. Turkey rhubarb, turkey rhubarb, turkey rhubarb I sell. I come here from Turkey to make you all well. Oh, don't you know me? My name it is Sam, 'cause I am the celebrated turkey rhubarb man.
Huh?
So if you have I may sing that. The farmer's market opens this weekend. I'll have rhubarb for sale. That's the kind of thing that you'd sing if you were trying to gather up business. So that one attributes rhubarb to the Turkey Rhubarb Man, but it also does allude to the fact that it is medicinal. We need a lot of extra oomph in the spring,
yep,
and rhubarb
spring cleaning.
Isn't. Yeah.
Now the thing is, rhubarb is, I don't know why it's a turkey rhubarb, because it's actually a northern plant. I mean, it takes cold weather.
Well,
you don't eat rhubarb usually in Mediterranean cuisine.
Well, Turkey's way up there. They've got like mountains where apples and stuff come from too. So
yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, he was probably a middleman anyway. Who knows? Sam the Turkey Rhubarb Man. I don't know.
Well, the usual things with rhubarb, as we all know, it goes quite well with cinnamon. The traditional one that I grew up with, of course, is nutmeg, and a little nutmeg in the rhubarb with sugar. Of course, everybody loves strawberries with it, but citrus is really good. Orange and rhubarb are one of my favorites.
Oh, I discovered a wonderful combination, rhubarb and orange marmalade.
Huh? She makes a good one.
Now, that's the kind of thing to make this time of year. You have to slice the oranges and boil them in sugar water, kind of
With the skins on,
until the slices are translucent, and then you can go on.
Like marmalade.
Marmalade, yeah. And then you can kind of go on. But that combination, just rhubarb by itself is kind of, it's rather assertive. And the orange sort of helps. Yes, it is. And we have on the Donalana Kitchen website, there is a page of recipes there. And one of the first recipes we put up way back, was it about 2014 maybe?
Yes, we're always, this time of year, we have to do rhubarb.
Yeah, there's a recipe there called Bernice's Really Good Rhubarb Dessert. And Bernice Donovan is not with us anymore, but a fine woman who lived here in Ames. And check out that really good rhubarb
now
dessert.
You know, rhubarb is also good for savory things too.
Who would have thought?
Something that, you know, you need a little tang. I did run across a rhubarb bacon compote recipe.
Bacon,
which includes bacon, onion, rhubarb, maple syrup, because of course it's very tart. Red wine vinegar, a little allspice, and a little thyme. I think I might even try to make that.
Oh, what does one put with that? Does that
compote?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you could, something like this, you could serve it on chicken, or you could even put
chicken.
It on toast, or, you know, it's a, instead of ketchup kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
Kind of, it's got that sweet sour tang thing to it.
We talked about ketchup on a past show, and there are other things to eat besides ketchup. There are other food enhancers, fun little things. That sounds good. Yes.
Good. Oh, you know, the other thing, I think we did this last summer, so we may have talked about it, making rhubarb syrup. So you're going to take your rhubarb and chop it up with some water, and then you're going to cook it slowly for as long as 2 hours. Just make sure it has plenty of water. And then eventually you kind of strain the rhubarb out of it, and you've got very strongly flavored liquid to which you add syrup. Then you've got rhubarb syrup. You could use it in cocktails. I mean, a good thing would be like a little, in the summer, Prosecco with rhubarb, or champagne, or white wine with rhubarb syrup. That would be an easy one. Or it makes a lovely addition to lemonade, or instead of lemonade, with just, you know, adding water and, you know, because the rhubarb is the sour. So you could just add bubbly water and the rhubarb and have a rhubarb soda, a rhubarb fizz, as it were.
So all that stuff growing
then
up there.
Then you put a little gin in it.
Have at it, yes. All that rhubarb growing out there.
Oh, also, you know, rhubarb, don't you freeze it. I this time of year when we get a lot of it, it's so easy to freeze. I just chop it up. I don't blanch it. I don't do anything. I just chop it up, put it in freezer bags, and in she goes.
Yes. So plan on enjoying that rhubarb out there. You're listening to KHOI. This is Community Radio for the Heart of Iowa, and you are listening to Donalana Kitchen. Tasty Radio for the Heart of Iowa. We're back. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. That was a English country dance tune. It was a sprightly square formation dance from the Playford collection. And folks, this is a golden oldie. It was originally written in the year 1651. It's always nice to go back and take the good stuff and dance. So that was an English country dance tune called Newcastle. Donna, we're going to consider a little bit about Mother's Day.
Oh, yes. Mother's Day is coming.
Or gone. No. Or
no, hmm. It's not. It's not happened yet.
Oh,
I'm still waiting to see if my children will even remember.
Maybe they're listening to the show, hey? Okay.
I doubt it.
So mothers. Mothers start things. Tell us your kefir story. That's a mother thing.
Is kefir a mother? I mean, I know vinegar starters are mothers. And kombuchas, are they mothers, too?
I don't know. They're referred to as the starter. Kefir is
a dairy. It's called a kefir grain, but it's not
grain.
A grain.
Okay.
Well, my little adventure is I've had a kefir starter going on for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. It was given to me by, I have some lovely neighbors down the block from the Ukraine, and the mother comes over. The mother of the family, the Ukrainian granny, comes over about half the year to take care of the grandchildren. And we somehow have a great relationship, even though I don't speak Russian or Ukrainian and she doesn't really speak English. But, you know, she's really just adorable. So 1 year she brought, I'm sure it's illegal to do this, but she carried with her a kefir culture from the Ukraine. And I just love it. It's different from the ones that I have seen in this country. It looks, we call it the blob. It's almost like cottage cheesy looking, except it's more translucent. So the problem I have is every year when I go away to visit my daughter in New Zealand, no one minds the mother kefir. And I come home and it's usually dead. So then I have to go about finding a new one.
And Donna, I had a really good kefir thing going all winter too. I don't know. There must have been something in the air. Mine died too.
Yeah, it went off, and then I was in despair. I was going, oh no, how am I going to get my kefir back again? Because I went down the street to the Ukrainians, and the daughter had let hers die too, and Lana's didn't work, and I was going, oh no, I'm never going to have that wonderful strain of kefir again. Finally, I called around town. No one had left theirs growing. I mean, I was just at a dead end, and my darling friend Tomoko, who was always a good minder of the kefir, has gone off to Japan. You know, I was like, oh no, I'm going to be kefirless. Poor kefirless Donna. However, as a last minute thought, I called my friends at Agricultured, you know, that do the sauerkraut and the kombuchas. They're from near Des Moines, and I had given them once some of it. And sure enough, they had it.
Oh.
So I got it this weekend. I grew it out. It's working beautifully. I had my first kefir yesterday. And, of course, I'll keep growing the little globs out, and I'll pass another one on to Lana.
This is one of those things that can happen kitchen to kitchen. Things are passed along, like sourdough starter, like good recipes.
Well, and you gave me back your I started my kombucha again. Your kombucha grew quite nicely for me.
Yeah, I've
so now I'm back on my kombucha and my kefir.
Yeah,
so got to keep that microbiome going on in there.
So if you see two cooks in a dark corner some night, kind of passing along little jars of really strange looking things, well, it either might be kefir culture, which is a dairy based thing,
mm-hmm,
or it
mm-hmm.
could be a kombucha culture, or maybe you don't want to ask what else it might be, but there it is.
Bathtub gin.
Oh, it could be that. We can make that, too. We can make that,
you know,
too.
I'm not sure, but I think kefir can be cultured in other... I'll have to look that up.
Oh.
Like in maybe coconut milk or some...
Oh,
some non-dairy kefirs.
Oh, if you have kefir experience or kombucha experience, you can contact us at KHOI Radio at gmail.com. Email us. We'd like to always like to hear recipes, and we like to hear what's on your plate. That's KHOI Radio at gmail.com. Kind of indicate Donna Lana Kitchen in the headline, or maybe it'll go to another show, and they won't quite know what to do with that on Rock of the Ages or whatever. But send it to us. Send it to us, and we'll do something with it. So think about mothers and starting things and Mother's Day coming up. Donna and I both have enjoyed a book called The Global Forest by Diana Beresford Kroger.
Yeah, and that was passed along to us by Mark?
Mark Edwards passed that. See, pass books along, pass recipes along. Keep it up, folks.
Cultures. We're big on exchanging things in this community.
This woman is a botanist, a scientist, and she...
Yeah, wasn't she a biologist at Harvard? She was the E.O. Wilson professor at Harvard.
She kind of has a lot to say about the natural world, and I'm going to read a little bit from a chapter that she wrote called...
Wait, what was the name of the book?
The Global Forest.
Right.
She deals with lots of things that are growing out there, and this is from her chapter called Trees Make Exemplary Mothers. Oh, mother dear. The mothering instinct comes naturally to a tree. Trees are like warm-blooded mammals that would protect their offspring, in some instances to death. But the tree does it differently. The fight for life is with the weapons from the mother's ancestral arsenal. Like most mothers, most trees are not naturally solitary. They are community dwellers, and the community takes care of its own. If one tree gets sick, there are carbon-bearing molecules that flash out from tree to tree, spreading in the atmosphere, and they help one another out. Carbon swapping is carried on by soil, mycorrhiza, or fungi. Those morels, those things happening now. That happens under the ground. A mother tree, when she is in seasonal gestation, when she's making her seeds, has her wishes and her wants. Many are manufactured by the tree themselves. The pollen, the fragrance that gets everyone to come to the tree and repollinate themselves. These chemical messages are corralled by beneficial insects that move in for the buzz. So the mother tree gets what she wants. The progeny, or the children of trees, are wrapped in swaddling clothes, usually two layers for seed protection, an outer and an inner. And maybe more, depending on the tree species. Some seeds have a trigger for smoke. Others have a trip mechanism for thunderstorms with their quick flush of available nitrogen fertilizer. And there are seeds with downright dangerous like neurotoxins. And there are seeds with delights for either man or beast. Some edible seeds out there. Sometimes the mother tree takes care of rivals in her own patch. She does this by secreting series of complex aleochemicals into the soil around her skirts. These chemicals can move into the soil and become deadly to other saplings. Many trees of the legume family use a form of nuclear warfare in this sort of seed defense. Occasionally, these aleochemicals are airborne from the fallen leaves and sterilize competitors. Ha-ha! Those trees are doing a lot of stuff out there. Trees and plants have never been thought of as warm-blooded like mammals, but they in fact are. As the spring sun rises, so does the sap warm and rise in the warming tree. There's a black box passive effect, but there's also a clear increase in the metabolism of some trees over and above this passive status. This warming phenomenon is used by the wildflower population of tubers, rhizomes, and plants that hug the apron of the trunk. And this early awakening initiates a release from plant dormancy. In a forest, the best mothers are the healthiest and the most mature. Often they're the largest. These are the trees that have learned the tricks and the trade of living. These trees carry the best card for genetic diversity. These trees also carry the best medicinal tools, triggered to last centuries, if not millennia. Mother trees of the highest caliber produce the highest caliber offspring. Despite all this, it's the mother trees that get the axe in the global garden. they do not receive the respect they deserve, ever.
Oh, the mother blood.
Yeah. Taking care of our own. That was from a book called The Global Forest by Diana Beresford Kroger, from her chapter called Trees Make Exemplary Mothers.
So do celebrate either your own mother or someone who is a mother.
Yeah, it's coming up.
We can't have, there's no such thing as too many mothers, you know.
No. Talk about being ferocious in protecting our young. That extends beyond our household, and that goes out to the rest of us, out to the world at large. So you'll see lots of mothers out there.
And so Mother's Day, is it Sunday? Is it this coming Sunday?
Looking at me.
I don't
know. You guys are looking at me like I'm a mother, but I don't know.
Yeah,
I usually receive the gifts at that point. I'm not looking. Let me check my fabulous.
I know it's coming up, but.
Well.
Hold on.
Every day is Mother's Day.
But there is something coming up for sure on Saturday.
On Saturday.
Ta-da!
Well, actually, on Saturday the 7th, the Ames Brewing League is having a big brew day over at Torrent Brewing Company.
Uh-huh.
So I know that's happening on Saturday. On Sunday is Mother's Day.
There we go.
They have a Father's Day on Saturday with the brewing, and they have a Sunday for Mom. Okay? That I do know.
Okay.
And that'll be starting in the morning, but you could check out Ames Brewing League online or go to Torrent. Okay?
Got it.
Thank you, Cynthia.
That was Cynthia, our erstwhile engineer here today, Cynthia McClure. Very good. Very good. And always right, Johnny on the spot. Cynthia on the spot. Also want to mention the Ames Public Library is having a Mother's Day book sale at May 6th to the 8th at the Literary Grounds during library open hours. If you want a gift for your mom or yourself, go to the Mother's Day book sale at the library. There's all sorts of good stuff at the library. There was a good concert at the library. There was the Central Iowa Symphony this weekend. Oh, so much stuff.
Oh, so many things. So next Saturday morning, the Ames Farmers Market will have its first opening of the season.
Oh, that's always a good
and
time.
And we will be there.
Yes, KHOI will be there.
Live.
Live. We have... Engineers have put all this stuff together. There's a live capability now. So come and say hi to the KHOI folks that are there.
Now, the market is starting off with something rather extraordinary.
A bang, a big bang.
Food trucks.
Food
trucks. It is rumored that there are going to be up to 14 food trucks at the farmers market on Saturday. Not to mention, of course, rhubarb as well.
Well, now, how can you miss that? And I think... just from my bones, from my farmer bones, I can say that it's going to be a beautiful day.
Oh, yes. We're going to have a great week this week. After all the lovely rain and chill last week, the sunshine is very welcome.
Yes. Lots of good things. So do come.
Now, what time does the market open, Lana?
8 o'clock. It better be 8 o'clock. I think it's 8 o'clock.
I'm not sure. I thought it was 8:30 or... No, I'm always late.
My farmer's market reference is, what time do I have to roll out of bed and pack the truck? Well, so I don't know. I go to, yeah, who knows?
Yeah, but it goes to at least noon or 12:30 again this year.
12:30,
yeah.
I think so.
So come on down. It should be a very celebratory atmosphere on Main Street, and we'll see you there.
Yes, let's celebrate May. Let's celebrate all that good stuff out there. And this is Pledge Week. This is Pledge Week at KHOI. We're offering you, as the listener, all you ears out there, we're offering you a chance to become a member of the KHOI family and enjoy all the benefits of being part of this remarkable community. We have live broadcasts of area bands and special events this week. Bands. Every evening this week, except Friday, will be the rhubarb concerts. Do take that in. And there will be lots of just great local programming. Local programming, lots of it is produced right here by people you may even know. And there's a lot of good national programming, too. You can hear local literary and musical artists. And you can listen to the Donna Lana Kitchen. Yes, you can. As you are doing right now and learning about rhubarb and May Day and the Maypole. You probably didn't know any of that before.
And you know, it's all archived, not just our show. So there's, mm-hmm. And you can listen to it anywhere in the world that you have a computer. Ha 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 ha.
Yes. This afternoon, there will be an interview with the Ames High Science Club, 2 to 3. So tune in for that. 5 to 6, Greta Anderson will interview Mitch Jezrich. I love that name. Mitch Jezrich, who is host of a national program called Letters in Politics. That's from 5 to 6 this evening. And then tonight, 7 to 8, the Rhubarb Sessions. So if you are feel like you want to be part of this, and you should be part of this, call 292-2878.
We want you to be part of this.
292-2878, KHOIFM.org. And that is the website. Find out lots more and press the donate button. Basic memberships are just $55 a year or about 15 cents a day. Come on, folks. You can do that. Or you can become a friend. So up your ante. Move on up to being a friend for $20 a month or $240 a year. It comes out to a lot less than a dollar a day. You can do that, too. And there are premiums. Yes, there are premiums. So join now and become a member of KHOI. And realize this is community radio. You can come down here. You can be part of this. If you don't like what's on the radio, come on down and make your own darn show. Yes, you can. I didn't know how to do this before I started. It's still debatable whether I know what I'm doing, but I'm here. We're both here.
We have a good time.
And we have a good time, too.
And come on down tonight at the Rhubarb Sessions with Dang Felton. Anyway, I'll be here tonight. And we're having free pie, and there's no charge for the live music.
Celebrate rhubarb. Celebrate rhubarb. Yes. You have been listening to the Donna Lana Kitchen. We've been talking about maypoles and rhubarb and Tom Beale as a maypole. And Mother's Day, trees, and all of the good stuff that's going on around this fine station and around this fine community. And the community includes all of Central Iowa. Our tower shoots out the broadcasting signal a great big long way. So there's lots of
you out
there.
And on the computer, we're absolutely global.
We are. We are. KHOIFM.
For anybody that wants a nice Midwestern perspective, you can hear it anywhere in the world.
And that includes our troops serving around the world.
Yes. They can even get it. I bet they, well, they're close to Turkey. They can get some rhubarb, wouldn't you think?
Huh? So if you have a family member that is serving in the military and misses home, this is a little slice of home.
It is. This is the sound of Central Iowa. All we can do is talk to you, and you listen back, and then why don't you talk to us by becoming a member of this station? You've been listening to music today. English Country Dance Favorites by Liz Donaldson, Becky Ross, and Colleen Reed. We'll go out with a little tune called Honeysuckle Cottage. How sweet. How sweet. Yes. We've had fine engineering today by Cynthia McClurg. And my name is Lana Noctigal.
And I'm Donna Prisgintas.
We meet here every Tuesday at noon. And you can hear us again on the web. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. Eat good food and enjoy life.